Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang, this radio program is for Sunday, November 27, 2016. I'm very grateful to be with you. I really am. We're going to look at a very interesting subject today, the meaning of life. I get a lot of these questions over the course of a week. What am I supposed to be doing? What is the meaning of this whole thing? And we're gonna talk a little bit about it. And I'm hoping in some way that this will serve you well. These radio programs, as well as the TV programs you see on my website at aspire.org, are all supported by people like yourself who have become sponsors who want to serve humanity, humankind, in this way to help awaken, maybe even, well, in the beginning, inform, and then there is the education, and then there is the awakening eventually when people start taking the work differently. So anyway, it is all there for you. And if you find these programs to be helpful or interesting in any way whatsoever, I am hoping that you will become a sponsor as well and help us to sustain our Aspire radio and TV programs. They do require, you know, money to pay for airtime, et cetera, all of that. Your donations go directly to airtime of these radio and TV programs. And I hope you'll take a look at sponsorship. You get a lot of really nice things to become a sponsor. You get access to my podcast, video casts, and commentaries twice a month, as well as the message of the month that I send out each and every month. And also, you can listen to any of the CD sets of TV programs that I've made over the years, and there have been plenty of them. It'll keep you busy for many, many years. So you have a lot there. It's all for you. It's free, and I'm hoping that you will become a sponsor and help us. We need your support. Okay, let's go to the first question and see what we got going here. I get a lot of questions about what should I be doing with my life? What is the meaning of this all? People, what do I want to say? They seem fed up with the commonality of answers that, you know, there is this great cause and everything that we are here to live for, which is, you know, to free mankind from slavery and stuff like that. So it isn't really about that. I'm not really going to go too far into that stuff, but I want to give you some spiritual insight that might be helpful. The first one comes from Tracy, and Tracy does not tell me where she lives or he lives. I don't know if it's he or a she. I don't know. How do I find meaning in my life when all I am doing is just trying to survive? I don't get it. What am I here for, Tracy? Tracy, I can't tell you what you're here for. I mean, it's your individual karma that actually decides what you're here for. I don't know what you've done in a past life. I don't know. I can only tell you that we are subject to everything that we have ever done in our lives. And whether we think it is fair or not, or right or wrong or good or bad, it just really doesn't matter. What matters is, how do I live with myself in the way that I am? And there is meaning in everything we do, no matter what it is I'm doing, whether I'm cleaning my toilet, which I do every day, whether it is vacuuming and dusting, which I do every day, whether it's making your bed, which I would hope all of us do every day in some way. It is about being meaningful. It is about bringing meaning to everything that we're doing. Consciousness, bringing our attentions fully to whatever it is we're doing, cooking, cleaning, working, playing, it doesn't matter. Just to bring our full attention to everything. If I bring my full attention to everything and I am not doing the divided mind thing where I'm living in some kind of foolish duality of life, then I have something really meaningful. Then I have something really beautiful going on. But if I'm living in my duality of this is boring, this is exciting, this is good, this isn't so good, this is about my survival, this isn't about my survival, then I create a division. And nothing is worse than being divided. When I am divided, I am conquered. And I am conquered by my emotionality. And it is in my emotionality that I find a great deal of the difficulties of my life and my world, because my emotions are many and they're divided and they seek to divide me if I'm not careful. In an authentic spiritual practice, we live undivided. We are not put in positions where this is a good thing, this is a bad thing, this is a right thing, this is a wrong thing. In an authentic spiritual practice, we are working on things that have meaning and substance to the very essence of us. Listen to me and try to understand, Trey. You ask me, how do I find meaning in my life when all I am doing is surviving barely? The object is to bring meaning to your survival, to whatever you're doing, to make meaning in it, to allow for it, to see the depth of what your work is all about, why you work, how important your work is to being conscious. It is all about being conscious in my work that makes my work meaningful. It isn't the work itself sometimes. People want meaningful jobs where they're important and they make lots of money and they think in terms of their value and their worth in proportion to the money they make. That is not the way. That is not finding meaning. You will never do that. There are a lot of people who get off on the whole idea of being wealthy and rich and powerful over other people. This is not the way. This is not what is going to help you. What will truly help us all is to remember that everything we do, everything has meaning. Everything we do has a deeper, more profound purpose than we can imagine. Everything. So when you and I are living in a duplicitous way where we are living for what we want against what we hate doing, but we do what we hate doing so we can get what we want, we put ourselves in a very awkward place in this world, and hence things become difficult. Our life becomes difficult because we have become difficult. Now, you've got to get this into you in some way. The meaning of your life, what would you call meaning? What would be meaningful to you? Just define, if you were here, I'd ask you, define for me what is meaning. What would be meaningful? What is a life? How would you place the meaning in the life that you have just defined? And I'm sure it would be very, very confusing for you. When people are telling me they don't find any meaning in their life, they're telling me many things about how they use their mind, how they use it to sustain boredom and fear and anger. And when we keep these things very close to us, boredom, fear, and anger, we find that no matter what we do, it's never enough. We're never happy enough. We never have quite enough money. We don't have all the friends we want. Yada, 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 yada. It goes all the way around. In living in that manner, in that way, we miss everything that is deeply important. So if you want to find meaning in life, as you say, when all you are doing, as you say, is surviving or working to survive, ask yourself one question. Why should I survive? Why? What makes me so important? Why should I live? Why should I not just go crawl in a hole somewhere and live there or die? What makes me so important that I need a certain quality or a certain definition of meaning? I found meaning in the smallest things in life, very small things. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, whether I'm cutting up my food to eat, or whether I'm doing my laundry, or whether or not I'm sweeping the front porch or whatever it is I'm doing. These little things, if done consciously, change everything about my life and my living. So, Trey, try to understand something. Even in writing this email to me, you have done something meaningful. This radio program will go out to hundreds and hundreds of people. They will listen to it. Some will get it. Some won't. Some will laugh at it. Some will find a reason to criticize. There's 100 million ways in which your offering this morning has meaning. So just remember that everything you do has meaning, and everything brings meaning to your life if you are doing it to be conscious. And consciousness, my dear friend, is everything. I hope that helps you, Tracy. What a kind and sweet little message you put underneath this, and I want to thank you for being so thoughtful. Please forgive me. Namaste. Everybody wants a meaning, but who is to decide what the meaning is? And what if the meaning is just doing something that seems repetitious and innocuous, and yet in it there is the substance and the wherewithal to have great beauty in our life? I always think how grateful I am for everything I get to do. Whether it be this radio program or working on TV or working on my the journal or my commentaries, it doesn't matter. What an honor it is to be able to work and do the things you truly love. It's what it's all about. The next question comes from Linda. What does it mean to live consciously, as you say? I don't get it, Linda. Linda, I giggle there because, you know, I do talk about doing everything consciously. I just did with Trey. What do I mean by living consciously? There's no way to define consciousness. I always call it the concha of my-ness. There's no way to describe the focus, which is to me the consciousness of everything. How I set into motion within me the consciousness to focus. Now, this isn't a mental thing. In the beginning of my practice of my life, it was something mental. It was how I concentrated. But that is not the way, and that is not what I'm talking about. It took me many, many, many years to understand that consciousness is derived from looking at my life beyond my mental precepts and concepts. And I'm going to give you something here really important. You're not going to like it. You're not going to agree with it, but it is true. Most of the time, if we are unconscious, you will see that we are making excuses for the state of our emotionality. And in that making excuses, we fall into a kind of semi-depression. Sometimes it's very deep depression, sometimes it's very moderate, and sometimes it's very light, but it's still a depression where we are not totally infused in our focus. We feel like we should be doing something else, or there's something better to do, or I wish I didn't have to do this. We feel our emotionality, and it's bored, it's angry, and we make excuses for our boredom and our anger, and we get angry about whatever it is that we're doing and thinking, and we just go about our daily life diffusing hatred in our life as much as we possibly can. And never really seeing the point of it all. Now, this is the way we lose consciousness. To gain in consciousness, of course, you're going to have to do some practice in meditation. There's just no way around it. But that practice can come in the form of being total, absolutely total in everything you do. You put your whole self into it. You drop the emotionality. the emotions that say, oh, this is fun, or oh, this is boring. Oh, this is a good thing I'm doing. I shouldn't be doing this at all. I'll feel guilty about this tomorrow, maybe eating a piece of cake or something. You can't go into that kind of duality. If I go into that duality, I split myself. I become difficult. I become angry. I become hostile even towards my own life. So I don't really see what the meaning of my living is. I'm just doing my life, and I'm not seeing the meaning behind my living. And behind everything we do in this world, in this lifetime, there is a substantial meaning. And that meaning is the substance of my focus and my concentration. So let me give you what that meaning could be. Let's use the big one, love. Big love. Not that I, you know, am looking at it going, oh, Greg's saying that I have to love scrubbing the toilet, or I have to think about the people who will be using that toilet that I love, and that's the reason I'm cleaning it. All of that is, well, not true. It's not the way we try to motivate ourselves to do things that our emotionality doesn't care to do, for the pure and simple sake of making excuses for our emotionality. Well, that is a waste of time. I clean the bathroom toilet because it's there. Because it's something that is there in my life. My body uses it. My body needs it. It is not a glamorous job, maybe. But to sit there and to try to rationalize why I do it in order to motivate me to do it in the first place is not being aware. That is not the way at all. And if I give you reasons for doing it, then I take away once again from the meaning of doing it in the first place. And this is why there is no awareness in this world. This is why we lack consciousness, because we're so busy trying to think about why we do any given thing in our life. Why do I do this? What does this mean? How much should I get? Is there appreciation for it? Will I get some credit for it in the ethers or whatever? Will people admire me? Everybody's doing things for attaboys. And that's another big problem that people have. No. To be aware, to be conscious, to have consciousness simply means that I do the things I do beyond the fears, the anger, the hatreds of my emotionality. Don't think your emotions bring you intelligence. There are many who will tell you that emotionality is human intelligence. It is not. It is not. And typically these people are trying to rationalize their own emotionality. And it can't be done. The only way you can rationalize any emotion we have is through pride and selfishness. That's about it. Our emotions are there because they're instincts of our human body. They're a part of our DNA. And we interpret these emotions through our genetics and how they have been used by our forefathers and our lineage many years ago. So to sit there and have an argument with my emotionality over the emotions I feel and the things that I go through in the course of a day really is quite silly. You want to know what consciousness is? It is when the mind drops, when it is no longer being used and forced to be used to reconcile our emotionality, where we can just simply watch our emotions for what they are and what they do, and see them for how they function in little congregations within us, and then to learn what it means not to react and act from these things. When you and I are no longer acting and reacting from these things, we start to mature and grow. You start to see things the way they are and not the way your and my emotionalities want to see them. That is a meaningful moment in a human being's life where they become not only conscious, but aware. And now everything suddenly and distinctly has significance in our life, deep, profound significance. And you find that nothing is wasted, that nothing is earned, that nothing is about right and wrong, good and bad, that everything is there in this lifetime to serve the higher purposes of your loving heart, which you possess within your being. It's all about love, my dear ones. It is not about what's right and fair and good and bad. Just think about it for a while. I hope that helped you, Linda. And again, I want to thank you, too, for your kind comments at the bottom of your email. Please forgive me. Namaste. We miss a lot because we only do those things that make us feel good. We don't really see that bigger picture. Is this world from, this is from Josie. Is this world all there is? And if so, how could anyone believe in a God of good, Josie? Josie, we don't know the world. We only know our interpretation of the world. If my mind is cluttered with hate and fear, anger and pride, then this is an ugly world. And I will see it in that way. It will only be ugly. People say and do things that are terrible. I understand. But there is more to our life than all of this. And there's more to our world than all of this. How we interpret our world based on the standards of our thinking is insane. And at the same point, to think there is a God that you could even think about that is in proportion to this world, even the making of it, the governing of it, as many people believe, is even more insane. People are crazy. They need something to believe in because they can't recognize themselves in this lifetime, in this life. They can't even recognize it. So if they can't recognize it, they don't think it exists. The most beautiful thing in this world and the most beautiful thing about this world is the presence of you as love. To miss the presence of you as love, Josie, is a terrible thing. And most people go thousands of lifetimes without ever knowing that they are love. They just go on and on and on, living in fear and hate, in anger. Never maturing, never growing, never finding anything other than what they hate and what they fear. It is difficult for people to understand all of this because they're used to taking life literally. And when I take my life literally, I've lost my life. Many people have died long before they leave their bodies because they're so busy being intoxicated by their emotionality. We are drunk on emotion. We are drunk on thought. We don't wake up. We don't look beyond the thoughts we have, the fears we have, the emotionality we have. We just keep sustaining all of this falderal to keep our illusions going. And as long as I can keep my illusions going, I think I'm right and I think I'm alive. And that is why meditation is so difficult, because in a funny kind of way, it is a form of death to the human mind and how it functions as a servant, being subservient to emotionality. That's why. Your God thing is another story. We'll talk about that maybe in another time. I don't have time for it right now, Josie, but I'd love to get into it with you. Thank you for your question, and thank you for your kind comments, too. They were very, very, very well appreciated. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can help you with, what an honor it would be to help you. please come to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org. And there at the top of the page, you will see media. Just click on that. You will see Satsang with Siraj. That be me. And you can go and from the website, send me a question, and I would deeply appreciate it. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me. Namaste.